Robert Dealey was just 22 years old when he went missing as he made his way home after his Christmas party. 19 years later, he has yet to be found, despite reported developments in the case over the years. His sister, Michelle Dealey, is with me in studio now. Michelle, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
Now, I remember it as vividly as if it were last Christmas rather than 19 years ago, so it's astonishing to think it's so long. But you were very young at the time.
Yep.
What do you remember of the last time that you saw Trevor alive?
Well, I was 26 when Trevor went missing. I had been for the last year living in London. So that's kind of sad for me in that regard, because my last time I'd seen Trevor was Easter. So Easter of 2000. For me though, he and I were both having our Christmas party on the same night. So his was the 7th of December in Dublin. Mine was in London. So we had been communicating over email the day or two prior, which is an email I still have and printed at home.
And you had intended to come home, presumably, to see him over Christmas.
And that's what we were exchanging emails about. We were catching up about a few different things. And then I was asking him what he wanted for Christmas, what I wanted for Christmas, when he was finishing work, when I was finishing work. It was just normal, you know, can't wait to kind of meet up and hang out over Christmas.
At what point were you alerted to the fact that he hadn't turned up and that the family were concerned?
And again, because I was in London, I think my parents waited a little bit longer for me, so they were alerted by lunchtime. For me, it was evening, it was after work. I'd finished work, I was at a friend's house in London, and I got a phone call from mum, and she tried to say, it's okay, no need to come home, it's fine, don't worry about it, but you just know. So I got a flight arranged first thing the following morning, so I got home Tuesday morning.
Now, remind us of his last reported movements, because over the years, that was the case itself, to try and find where Trevor might be, was to trace his steps, to look at any CCTV that might be there, any reports of his walking in the rain, heading down towards Bowles Bridge from Leeson Street.
Yeah, so he had his Christmas party. There's footage of him outside where the party was being held, which was the Hilton Hotel. He and his friends after the Hilton went to Buck Whaley's. There's no footage of that, but there is footage capturing Trevor as he's returning home. He returns via his place of work to secure an umbrella. And you know, I'd like to address a couple of things this morning, but one is speculation. So when I read an awful lot that's written, there's an awful lot of questioning why would Trevor go home or go back to his place of work at 3:30 in the morning. So the reason he did that was because the weather was... it was horrific. Like, we're in winter again now. We can see when it gets really wet and windy how bad it is.
One of the speculations was that he was blown by the wind or carried by the terrible weather into a waterway, and his body was carried away.
That was our initial fear. And I think because of, you see his place to work by the canal, and you realise on his way home to Bowles Bridge, there was the Dodder, you're close to the coast. So I think a natural fear would be water. But we had the Subaqua team kind of on the case very quickly, very promptly. And, you know, soon enough, between CCTV that we found further that removed him from the canal, we found that from him at the top of Haddington Road, and then just the Subaqua very extensive and thorough work, water really reduced to being less of an option. And even in DNA evidence that we've been exploring with Forensic Science Ireland since, you think about bodies that could get washed up on various coastlines, our own included. Trevor's DNA does not match any of the unidentified bodies.
Because recently we saw reports from Wales where a number of bodies had been recovered over the years and even buried. You had those checked, even?
Yes, and I sat myself with our Garda liaison officer with Forensic Science Ireland team this May, went through it in a lot of detail. We'd given our DNA years ago, but we really just wanted to check. So we got a very conclusive response back from the team there that no, none of the unidentified bodies are that of Trevor, which is great, but it's also another avenue closed, I guess, to us as a family. We keep trying to find different ways to find Trevor, and we still keep coming up blank.
Now, the Gardaí say lots of people go missing, and particularly if they're adult, and Trevor was 22, so he was an adult, and they don't kind of respond necessarily to the family's panic, because most people turn up, and sometimes, you know, there are red faces all around because somebody met somebody.
Yeah,
and, you know,
absolutely.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then some people deliberately remove themselves, go missing, and eventually show up. So the police don't react to every missing person.
Yeah.
But at the time, there was a genuine concern, and I know that your family's campaign, because I remember it vividly, you could not pass a lamppost without Trevor's image being posted there.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just Trevor's family, it's his friends, his work colleagues, our work colleagues. Like, people have been amazing, and people were amazing at the outset. Like, we had an army, and we kind of operated quite like, it was very methodical. We mapped the city out, we divided up locations, we figured out who was doing what, and then we just kept repeating and then coming up with different ideas and different ways to raise awareness. This was all pre-social media. This was all pre-Facebooks, pre-Twitters, you know, and we've done a huge amount of work. But I will say it's now becoming, you know, all that work and awareness that we've raised, in a way, it's coming to haunt us. And it's really becoming a very difficult item for the family when we think about speculation. And speculation, be that via the media, which is rare, but it does happen, did happen last week. But in particular, speculation online, it's really, I think at this stage, I don't know as a family, and the same for other missing persons families, I'm sure too, how to put an end to that speculation.
Well, let's address the most immediate speculation. Mm-hmm. What appeared, and why was it simply speculation?
Because people come forward, so thankfully, people come forward all the time with potential leads. There are potential witnesses. You know, the guards are the professional body. We are just the family awaiting news of something. And until the point in time that we get a phone call from the guards to say, listen, you need to come in and sit down, we have to go through something, it is pure speculation. There was nothing from the guards officially that...
And they would liaise with you if there was something meaningful.
I had spoken to the guards 2 days prior. You know, we're always in communication over various different issues. But absolutely, I mean, you know, for us, the guards issued a really good comprehensive press release this weekend. That contains the facts of the case. That contained the fact there is still, for them, an unidentified male outside the bank that they need to identify, and they're asking people to come forward.
So we're back to the very beginning, because that was the case very early on, wasn't it? That this individual was known to be there. Suggestion was that Trevor was followed perhaps by this individual until that individual is identified and either, as the police put it, eliminated from our inquiries.
Exactly.
It remains a big question mark.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, the CCTV footage outside Byam in particular, it's spooky. I find it eerie. Yeah. I find it unnerving. I find it distressing. But that man has not been identified. And the man who's deemed to potentially follow Trevor, and he could just be walking on the second piece of CCTV at the top of Haddington Road, could be a different man. But also that man has not been identified. So it's either two men or one man. And, you know, the police, that's their current open line of appeal, is for anybody who knows that individual or those individuals to come forward.
And that's the difficulty. If it's two men, two random encounters,
absolutely,
maybe nothing to it.
Yeah.
If it's one man, the fact that they would be taking the same route in itself might...
Maybe, but does it mean anything either?
Yeah, lots of people walk down that route along the canal.
And I think, you know, lots of people grasp at straws, ourselves included, and a lot of people, you know, do get caught up in trying to solve something. And I think that's something that we would ask people to stop trying to do, is trying to solve. I think we do have the experts. We're asking people to come forward with information. We're asking people to come forward with insights, if they can identify that person or persons. But the level of speculation is becoming really quite. Yeah. I guess everybody has their limits, and I think for me, on behalf of the family, I'm just saying at this stage now, you know, there's a lot of speculation around Trevor going to Alaska. That was a trip of a lifetime for him. He went there, and as much as maybe reported in Wikipedia, which is not fact, that he came home 2 days prior, he didn't. He came home a couple of weeks prior to him going missing. It has nothing to do with anything. Alaska.
What was the proposal, that he'd been to Alaska and wanted to go back?
You'd want to read past what people write online. It is outrageous. And at some stage, I do think there needs to be some form of I don't know if it's a ruling or something that doesn't allow that occur, especially on some of these chat boards and on comments on certain websites. But there's lots of theories that Trevor, you know, went to Alaska, got caught up in something, and somebody followed him back and did something to him. That, why would he go to Alaska? That's a crazy thing to do for a 22-year-old. Like, I saw photos of him when he went to Alaska. There's 48 photos of glaciers and mountains and steam trains. He was a simple guy. He was an entry-level IT worker, and people have him caught up in this banking scam, that he was involved in some crazy scheme, and that's why he was taken, and it's
when
crazy.
When you read this stuff, and there's nothing you can do about it, I mean, Wikipedia, you're supposed to be able to edit.
I don't know how to do that myself.
You have to go in, you can actually edit it, but if there isn't a provenance for your edit, they'll reject your edit.
I've been rejected by Facebook, I've been rejected by Reddit, I've been rejected by loads. I battle a lot to try and get the right facts out there, but it's actually really difficult. So I really, and again, just to stress, and I do think this is something that other missing persons families suffer from too, the speculation just needs to, it's the social media whirlwind, I guess, but it needs to come down several notches.
At the same time, there was a dig which came to nothing a couple of years
ago. Horrendous, yeah.
And that pointed the finger in a general direction of gangsterism.
Nefarious, yep.
Nothing to do with Trevor himself,
no.
Except that he may have fallen foul inadvertently of ne'er-do-wells.
And unfortunately, I guess, with the sensationalism for the general public around that, you know, and I know this, most people genuinely want us to find Trevor. I know that. I mean, most people, 99% of people, even in what they do online, is very supportive. I just want to call that out. But yes, that story, you know, we took in good faith, as difficult as it was to think that was
because
Trevor's end.
Somebody did report to the Gardaí that
it was deemed to be credible. It was deemed to be credible, but they went through an extensive process that we all witnessed, went on for weeks, and I know conclusively that story is incorrect.
Yeah, but yet they found
incorrect stuff.
Because
Nothing
to do with Trevor. They found a gun, I think, and drugs and money. But it suggested that someone saw somebody digging or burying or something and said,
no body, as in there was no human size
and
that had ever been buried
there.
No link to Trevor. It's not that there was a burial site for humans or anything. There was no burial site other than for whatever was reported as perhaps been found there.
So all this stuff about, you know, meeting gangland figures and having a row with them on the street.
Won't go away since that
dig.
There
is nothing to suggest that that happened.
No, nothing to prove that. We are still stuck with Trevor at 4:14 a.m. with his blue ACC umbrella walking down Haddington Road on that horrible wet and windy night. He has not been moved on since. There have been hundreds, if not thousands, of potential witnesses with potential sightings, with different theories. Nothing has been now we could wake up tomorrow, and that's part of the pain of this. You never know when you're going to get a story that actually is true, and it could be the worst thing ever. There could be something worse than what we're going through right now, in a way, but we don't know when that is. So it's out of our control, but as of I sit here this morning, there is nothing proven.
And, of course, it may be never. And that's
we may have to live with this forever.
All,
it feels like forever already, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an unfortunate piece, but it doesn't stop. Like Trevor would never give up on us. So we're that's our commitment. As difficult as it is to deal with the speculation, as difficult as headlines like last week, that has a huge personal impact on Trevor's family and on his friends. It's really difficult to read that. Imagine if it was your daughter and you're reading about these things. It's really hard to read that. You know, that got presented to my dad on a local radio show. Like, I try and shield him from a lot of this stuff. It's really difficult, but, you know, we won't give up. We have to, you know, keep fighting through it until we find him.
If people wanted to view that CCTV footage again, where can they find it? Because, you know, it's Christmas time. People come home, people go away. You never know what Christmas someone will return.
Yeah.
It's 19 years this year.
Yeah.
It could be next year. It could be the year after that someone comes home to spend, you know, another Christmas that they haven't done for 2 decades.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Where might one find the CCTV to look at it?
Well, the easiest thing, and not to be glib, is to just Google Trevor's name. I mean, it's everywhere. Unfortunately, there's lots of other things around Trevor everywhere as well. I don't know how many YouTube videos about him now. There's also the Garda Missing Persons website. So within that, there is a map, there's a photo, and there's video clips. But, you know, it's certainly not difficult at all to find that CCTV footage. It is grainy, but we recognised Trevor from it originally.
Yep.
So I think anybody who knows that man, particularly outside the gate where Trevor did speak, I mean, I think that man is of higher interest. The man right outside the Bank of Ireland gate as Trevor was coming in at 3:30, you know, and he did hang around for half an hour beforehand. So, you know, that's definitely the top priority. So, you know, he should be recognisable to those who know him.
to those who know him. Over the years, has technology helped in any way to enhance the CCTV?
It enhanced it, but you know, other than that, we haven't had any technology advancements in general help us. It was always a hope of ours that there would be something, you know, that retrospectively then, you know, could come to play. And if there is something that we're missing that we should be doing, we'd love to hear about it. We, you know, we are amateurs. We're not professionals. We're only a family. We don't really know what else to do but what we're trying to do. So I'm not sure if there's something that we're missing. And, you know, perhaps there is, but...
I mean, your quest to try and figure out what happened to Trevor and find him whatever way you find him.
We want to find him.
But has the family reconciled to the notion that, you know, there is no living Trevor anywhere?
I mean, my parents, absolutely, until they know otherwise, they're not going to give up on their hope for their son.
That he might be living somewhere.
Stranger things have happened. It's a crazy world out there. Nobody, as much as there may be theories and speculation about what happened to Trevor, there is no theory that makes sense. There is no theory that you can actually say that's probably what happened. Yeah. So why wouldn't it be as likely? It may not be probable, but who's to say it's not possible that he could still be? I mean, that's their hope. That's their hope.
Well, my heart goes out to all of you. As I say, I've been following this story, and the anniversary comes around every so often. We get these stories which come to nothing.
Yeah.
But perhaps one day,
yes,
there will be a resolution.
I hope so. And thank you very much for
Michelle,
your time.
Thank you very much for coming into us this morning.